don't care who you are, what you did, what you wear, where you go. As long as you love me, Mothman. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast. You will understand that joke if you were here for the pre-show at twitch.tv/robotsradio, where I am hanging out. Before the actual recording with Lainey, my regular co-host. Lainey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Good, good.
Like always.
I guess I should say my name, too. I'm Tom of Robots, as usual. And our special guest for today's show about the Mothman, our cryptid expert, knowledge extraordinaire. I don't know. What should we call you, Dave? Dave Chaffins from the Fallout Hub and other shows like the Geography Arcade. Dave, how's it going?
I would call myself a professional. I'm a professional.
Professional? A cryptid professional?
Mothman.
A professional Mothman.
A zoologist?
No. I'm just professionally into Mothman. It's become something like you have amateur, right? And then it's golf terms. You have amateur and then you have pro-am. But once you get to that professional level, I'm like the Tiger Woods of Mothman. Well, I don't know about that because he has like a bunch of shit. I'm trying to Phil Mickelson. Of Mothman. Put me in an arthritis commercial.
We're only going to use golf references from decades ago about awesome golf players from, you know, Fuzzy Zeller. You're the Fuzzy Zeller of cryptid fans. So anyway, welcome back to our Fallout Lorecast. This is, we're recording an hour earlier in order to make sure that Dave can get on here because as Lainey and I have been going through cryptids, I was mentioning that to Dave and Dave was like, WTF, why aren't I on your show? And I was like, because, and he was like, because why? And I'm like, I don't know. You want to be on my show? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. So he's here. And we are talking about the Mothman today, and Dave's going to give us some background on real-world stuff, and then later on in the show, at the end of the second half of the episode, we're going to talk about Fallout 76 and the Mothman showing up in-game. So, awesome stuff. Also, right here at the beginning of the show, guys, if you haven't seen, I've been hinting for the last week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, sending some cryptid messages out. Some people decrypted some of those messages, though, and started really speculating about what was going on. Turns out that Dave and I are starting the Starfield Lorecast tomorrow night. And so if this is out in the morning and you're on Patreon, maybe you'll hear this before. But if you're a regular listener, it'll be too late. But you may see the notification on twitch.tv/robotsradio that we are doing the Starfield Lorecast tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and it's going to be awesome. Dave, we're going to be extremely speculating, dangerously speculating, ridiculously speculating about Starfield.
I think we're going to start, we're going to start on a nice, even level. We're going to have some like 101 basics. By the end of it, we're going to be so deep in the pit that we won't even know what our own, like, we won't remember our names. We'll just be so deep into the,
we'll be
the
lost
Starfield
in space.
Lore.
Lost in space.
We'll be lost in space.
Yes. Yes.
And we will be screaming, danger, Will Robinson, at the amount of speculation and absolute craziness.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that there's going to be a cult. I heard that there is going to be some, like, detective BS. Like,
yeah.
Just go listen to it.
All I have to say about that is nanu nanu. So we will be doing that tomorrow night. And if you don't get this message before you're able to tune in, be aware that this will be a regular feed. So you'll be able to look this up on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever you're listening to your podcast on. So you will definitely be able to hear it again later. And the video version will be up at the Robots Radio YouTube channel. So you'll be able to check it out no matter what. So don't worry. Don't just relax, guys. Just chill it a little bit. You know, so let's get into the Mothman. Everybody has seen or hasn't seen the Mothman movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the only two options. Either you've seen it or you haven't. I mean, I guess you could kind of seen it a little bit.
About to blow your freaking mind right now. What if I told you there's more than one Mothman movie?
What? There's more than one? Well,
oh yeah.
Well then, I mean, if there's more than one, then it definitely can't be based off of like a book, right?
Okay. Well, it's not. Okay. So the name of the movie is Mothman Prophecies. And it starred the beautiful and just snack of a guy, Richard Gere.
Snack.
I mean, yeah. That guy is like, yeah, he is the snack. I mean, watch Knights at Rodanthe. I mean, that's
if I
like
was a vampire, I would definitely chew on his chest.
Oh yeah, he would be something. It is loosely based on some events within the book. I brought a few props with me. My first happens to be the Bible itself. This is the Mothman Prophecies that I hold in my hand.
That is your Bible.
This is my Bible.
Let's just be clear to anybody who is of the Christian faith. You're not desecrating an actual Bible with your Mothman.
No.
With your Mothman like hands. You are holding up the Mothman Prophecies as your Bible, being that you are a worshiper of the Mothman.
Yes, this is for the goofs and the gags. This is not. Let me tell you a quick review of this book. It's really crazy because what this guy John Keel wrote about in here was a series of details. So I kind of want to get into those details.
Tell us. My ears
are
ready.
Just starting with the first story, and the first story comes from, I believe it was 1968, and I'm doing this all off memory. I didn't even look up anything before.
Awesome.
Just so you know how professional it is. 1968 was the year. I think it was in November. It was in the teens of November. There was this young married couple. They were out with another young married couple. Some would say it's a double date.
It was 1966.
66. That's a lot further from the 70s than 68. That's twice as far from the 70s.
But it was in November when this occurred. What happened was there was two married couples that were out driving in their car. And I don't know if you've ever lived in West Virginia, but oftentimes, especially, there was not a lot to do. So going on drives and just like going and looking at nature, as we call it, nature, is a great option to go and leaf peeping. I had a leaf peeping trip recently.
He did.
Going out there and looking at stuff is common pastime. So they're out driving at night, and there's this area in Point Pleasant. West Virginia was this big provider of munitions and chemicals and a number of different resources for the American Army during World War II. Mm-hmm. And so they had this old depot that they called the TNT area. And what that was essentially storage for a bunch of the gunpowder, dynamite, explosives, chemicals that the Army had.
Yeah.
Explodies.
TNT, dynamite.
And it was pretty out there. And so it had enough roads so you could get to that place. But not necessarily like it wasn't lived in or anything. So it was a good place to drive your car and look at nature. So while they were out one night,
or hide a body.
All of a sudden above their, or hide a body. That's true. All of a sudden above their head as they are driving, they see a pair of glowing red eyes, and they start driving, and they're like, "I think these glowing red eyes are following us." So they drive faster, and all of a sudden they see what they think is some sort of like creature with wings with glowing red eyes flying at the exact same speed that their car is. They go from the TNT area, race all the way back to Point Pleasant, and that's like a 10 minute drive if you're going 60 miles per hour on a country road. I mean, mm-hmm. This is back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were like, probably drunk too.
Probably. They probably had a few glasses of wine as well.
Probably that. Because back then in the 60s, they were like laws didn't exist yet. You know, like nobody knew about laws.
A little point when they were driving, they saw this like dog, and they thought about stopping and trying to like get it away, but it ran off before they could get to it.
Huh.
So they raced in their car all the way back, being chased by this monster. This monster in their record was going the exact same speed that their car was. Like it was flying above them, going the exact same, like tailing them. And by the time they got back to town, they didn't see the monster, but they went and told the sheriff and said, "Hey, there's this thing out in the woods. It's a creature. It's a bird. It's something. And we're going to go, we got to have you go investigate that." And so the police get together.
Can I chime in again? I'm pretty sure, I might be mistaken. I think that they went home and then they ended up going, both couples, they went back a second time because they wanted to verify what they were looking at. and they believe that they saw it again, like in the field before they went to the sheriff, which actually makes it a little bit more believable if that is the story.
I know that they went back. I know that they went back again, because I think that they grabbed the sheriff and went back again. Again, let me tell you something about this account. There is many different tellings of this account, and the people in the town that live through it will tell you many different tellings about this account. Do they all believe every single account? Yes, they do, from the people that live in the town.
Yeah, just so like just back. Like all the variations in the Gospels. They're all true.
They're all true. They went back, but with sheriff or without sheriff, saw it again, saw the body of a dog, and then race back home.
You know what else looks this like a dog? More, you know what else looks like a body of a dog? A chupacabra. Like just saying. Just saying. We might have a double cryptid situation here.
There's a lot. There's a lot. There's a lot going on, because let me take you back. If you're starting, if you're sitting at home, you're like, okay, I've heard the story. You know, I've heard the story about the these people, but let me tell you something. Did you know that this wasn't the first sighting of Mothman in West Virginia during this time frame?
Does it go back to the Native Americans?
I mean, it kind of does, but even
all the best cryptids go back to the Native Americans, right?
Right. All the best cryptids go back to the Native Americans. So if we look into the Kanawha Valley, which is where Charleston is, that's where I am right now. If you get on the interstate right up here near my house, you can drive up at maybe 10 minutes. There's a graveyard, and some people were digging a grave 3 nights before the Mothman made himself aware in Point Pleasant. And they saw something. A pair of glowing red eyes in the sky. They quickly disappeared. Now, fast forward to those 3 days. Same night as the couple was driving about. In Salem, Virginia, which is where right where I lived previously, before moving to Charleston.
It seems like all these things are following you, Dave.
There is a farmer, and he heard.
Sorry, go on.
In the past. that's a greater
Dave
theory
is
even
the moth
itself.
Man.
the farmer essentially had this dog, and this dog started barking. And he was like, what is that? And so he goes out, opens the door, dog goes racing out of the house. He looks around, he goes out to his barn, he sees a pair of glowing red eyes. And then they disappear. And he can't find his dog. His dog is lost. And so what do the couple see that next, later on that night? They see a dog of the same description in the road that they passed by. And then found dead later on.
So here's,
anyways,
if you put all the pieces together, then the obvious thing to assume here is that the Mothman and the dog were best buddies, and they decided to leave the farmer because the farmer was a jerk ass son of a bitch. Excuse my French there, friends. And then while they were traveling, there was an accident and the dog got hit by a car. I mean, that is probably the most reasonable assumption.
Yeah, I like to imagine that Mothman is a being.
Lainey's face is like, what?
He needs some companionship, and he was probably like, you know what? This dog, he's coming right towards me. This is my best friend now.
This is my best friend.
Little did he know, later on that night, that these terrible people would probably kill their dog. Kill the Mothman's dog. Whatever happened to the Mothman's dog? That's going to be my next issue of Batman that I'm writing.
Whatever happened to the Mothman's dog?
Whatever happened to the Mothman's
dog? And the court of the owls will be involved also. We'll just bring in all sorts of different, also bats, owls, moths. Yeah.
So this Mothman incident happened, and then it started this collections process of all of these people sharing accounts. And this is where you have John Keel, who's the man, if you read right there at the top, if you're on the stream, it says John A. Keel is the writer of Mothman Prophecies.
It's weird,
he was a prominent...
You can read it backwards.
You can... Let me tell you something. I mean, your eyes are a powerful tool, and I believe in every single one of you to be able to read this on the stream.
If you read it, like, because it's mirrored, it looks like it says A. Nulge Leak, but that's not what that actually says.
Okay, but watch this. What if I...
Now it says Keet. that's not how mirrors work, Dave.
So the Mothman prophecies. The Mothman prophecies here. Let me tell you. You want to know something interesting about the Mothman prophecies?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Not about Mothman.
Tell us about the prophecies.
I loved it. It's not, there's a little bit of Mothman. It's not about Mothman.
Yeah, nothing.
It truly, Mothman is only one single portion of this. Mm. I think that Mothman is a term. So I guess the real history of it is that there was this couple that saw something in the papers the next day, and I've seen the paper. I've seen a copy of the paper. I don't know where they keep the original files for the paper of the Point Pleasant Registered Herald that says couple sighted creature ... bird ... something. Which I think is a weird headline for a local paper.
Something. Right. Got it.
Something.
Yeah. Mysterious.
So that brought a lot of people to be like, okay, what exactly happened? And then I'm sure that Lainey has the dates pulled up.
I don't. Way to let you down.
Essentially, a few weeks later, there's this terrible accident in Point Pleasant where the Silver Bridge, which I've driven over, and I can tell you it's a lot better now, Silver Bridge collapses and kills it kills about 60 people.
No good.
After going over.
Unfortunate.
And so a lot of people have said that they have seen Mothman near the Silver Bridge. And there's some pictures of Mothman on the Silver Bridge, or what people say is Mothman on the Silver Bridge, that you can go and find. And then once that happened, that drew national news to the area. And then they all found out about this Mothman incident. And that's when you start having the cryptozoologist, wasn't a thing back then, but UFOologist, which is what John Keel was, came down and started investigating. And
came down from the spaceship?
Drawing. Okay, Tom. Would you believe me if in the book this guy details a situation in which a man covered in tinfoil comes down from a spaceship in front of the Point Pleasant Elementary School? Because yes,
is that a
it
thing?
Does happen in the book.
Is that a thing
that
in the
a
book?
Thing. That is a thing that happens
in the book.
I was
just making
a
joke, but that's I was so if you guys haven't figured out yet, the things that I've been saying on this episode are kind of the most ridiculous things that just happened to cross my mind. That one I thought was ridiculous.
Let's go back to this.
But
this book is the most ridiculous book that you will ever read if you ever get a chance to read it. It is infuriating because it is so ridiculous and doesn't keep anything.
Nothing
correct.
Straight. It's yeah.
It is a mess. So John Keel comes to the area and starts cataloging a lot of this stuff. At the same time, there is an individual that comes to the community that is in an ill-fitting suit, wears sunglasses, and speaks in a monotone voice that keeps on questioning the residents. So the residents are being questioned by all these reporters, these UFOologists, all these different things.
Was it Smokey Man from The X-Files?
It was... Who's Smokey Man from The X-Files?
Did you ever watch The X-Files?
Smoking Man.
The Smoking Man.
No.
He's the mysterious guy who, throughout most of the early seasons, shows up in situations where he's like in the background smoking or talking to somebody, and then you only get little hints of what's going on.
Okay, yes, the Smoking Man is based off of the character that they discover in this book. He's based off of Indrid Cold. Indrid Cold is the original inspiration for a lot of things, including, I would guess, the Smoking Man.
Right. Right,
G-Man from Half-Life is the inspiration. That's who the man in the ill-fitting suit is, and he starts stalking people and starts showing up in people's bedrooms at night. Like, there are legitimate reports of a strange man in a suit showing up in one of the couple's bedrooms that was on the trip that was just watching them.
That's weird.
Yeah, they report that to the police.
How does that go though? Like, you roll over in the middle of the night, you look up, and there's just like a dude standing there, and you're like, get out of my bedroom, guy in the suit, and then he just like leaves out the front door. Like,
apparently, so a lot of these things, and if you go into the community, I would not recommend asking a whole lot about Mothman outside of going to the Mothman Museum, because a lot of these people hold these stories as true. The people that were involved have moved away because it was psychologically very hard for them to deal with this incident. They believe that it happened, but they have all these different reporters and all these different UFOologists coming after them. So then their story gets a little bit muddled just in time. Most of the family that it actually happened to has moved away. But that is one of their reports, that there was a man in a suit in the bedroom.
Crazy guy.
So it goes back to...
Maybe he just couldn't figure out where his bedroom was. Maybe he was just like trying all the doors. Just like, is this my house?
Maybe he was just like, I bet these people are my friends, so I'm going to go visit them.
Yeah. Maybe he was he's the farmer who lost his dog, and he's just trying to find his dog in the middle of the night.
Is the farmer wearing a suit? Bring in classes here.
But the farmer's going into town, right? So, and he's showing up at people's homes in the middle of the night. So the last thing you want to do is like show up as like, oh, I'm just a farmer. Like, you put on a nice suit so you can like introduce yourselves. Hi there, I'm farmer lost dog guy. Seen my dog?
Well, there is an account of Indrid Cold a few days after the Mothman incident, seen on the same highway that I was talking about in Kanawha Valley, where a guy pulls over in the road. And what do you think Indrid Cold drives? What do you think off the top of your head? What is that man in an ill-fitting suit that goes into people's bedrooms? What does he drive?
Is this still the 60s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ill-fitting suit man showing up in people's bedrooms probably drives a decommissioned Postal Service car.
Laney, do you have any any ideas? No.
Pause. No. Laney.
No. all of a sudden this dude is driving his car and he sees a floating sideways chimney that looks like it is emanating a light like a lantern, lands in the middle of the road, asks him how far the nearest town is, and then gets back in his floating chimney lamp and floats away. Later on...
Wait. This isn't a human.
Wait.
Pretending to be a human.
Is this a TARDIS? Is this a... like...
Later on, this guy that had this encounter with this floating chimney man in the ill-fitting suit says that he was telepathically then engaged with the chimney man.
Of course he was.
So it said that his name was Indrid Cold, and that he was from the Lanulos galaxy. Is there any other information on this telepathic engagement that they had? No. But people believe that Indrid Cold from the Lanulos galaxy, and wearing the ill-fitting suit, breaking into people's bedrooms, climbing your windows, snatching your people up, is an alien.
Yeah, of course. I mean...
That's why, if you ever watch the Mothman Prophecies movie, it's not about Mothman. It's about Indrid Cold.
It's about an alien in a suit.
It's about
flying a chimney around, showing up in people's bedrooms, wondering where his dog is. I added the last part.
I like it. So what the theory? God, piecing all this information. This is a lot of information. If you're just like starting out and you're like, what is a Mothman? I have given you so much. You're probably like...
You're probably still like, well, wait, but what is a Mothman? But wait, all I know is eyes and a missing dog.
What is a Mothman? Let me tell you, a Mothman is a prophetic creature that supposedly predicted the collapse of the Silver Bridge by flying into Point Pleasant. When people see him, people think that there is going to be impending doom upon that area. There have been other accounts in history of this happening, of this moth-like creature showing up. Most recently, he has been seen in the Great Lakes area up in Chicago, as in like a few years ago. You can actually go and they post up flyers to be like, have you seen Mothman? And had a number that you could call and you could call him.
Cool. He's traveling.
He
sees the air. I mean, he can fly, so I'm assuming.
Who works on that telephone line? I want to work on that telephone line.
I think so anybody telephone line... can do that. I think you just pay for a number and have it forward to your cell phone, and then you can set up a call line for whatever you want. Yeah.
I think it ended up being like a public art project where people put stories and different stuff based on whatever they had. So Mothman is this prophetic flying creature with glowing red eyes. What do people think it was? People think it was a heron.
A red herring?
I don't know. No, a heron, like a bird.
Ah.
It was a bird. The migratory patterns may have changed. And
somebody saw
that's like the, I guess.
And the eyes were reflecting the lights at night. And they were like, scary eyes.
I'm going to chime in again, because I think this might just be another, like, hearing different accounts thing. Because in what I've heard, it's not a heron, it's a sandhill crane. It's another bird, right? And the idea is that, like, they have red around their eyes, and they have a wingspan of, like, 7 feet, and Mothman is supposed to be really tall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But anyway, any bird really fits the bill. Like,
any bird.
Any large bird, yeah. Because birds are weird. Yeah.
In the description, it probably is closer to an owl, which is if you listen to the last cryptid episode of the Fall Lore class, which I listened to today on my run, you can learn that the Flatwoods Monster may have also been an owl, a barn owl.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah, two episodes ago. Yeah.
Two episodes ago.
Maybe all the cryptids are just owls.
Wait, so are they the same thing? What if Mothman and the Flatwoods Monster are just the same creature?
An owl.
There's some truth.
An owl. I mean,
there is some truth to that. So at this point, we're getting into some headcanon here. The big prominent thing, and you'll see it with, I won't go into detail of Sheep Squatch, but the whole thing with Sheep Squatch is it is a product of the environment that it came from, and it came from the same environment the Mothman did, if you look up the things. Essentially, people believe that it smelled like sulfur whenever they were around the Sheep Squatch. A lot of these different situations may have been a thing. So much more like Fallout, people think that it's like a mutation because of all, I mean, the massive amount of chemical processing in West Virginia. If you watch, they just did a film about it called Darkwater that had Mark Ruffalo in it that was talking about essentially they were like pouring chemicals into the river and killing a bunch of livestock. And then, oh, by the way, that was also killing the people because that's the water that they were drinking.
Dough.
Oops.
As Homer Simpson would say. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is a theory. There are theories that Mothman and Flatwoods Monster chemical stuff was still being, I mean, right in the 50s. I mean, that was when it started to boom off and do stuff. I knew a guy that when I was taking a class in OSHA that was working on a experimental military chemical that was going to disintegrate male genitalia.
Yeah, you mentioned this the other day on the Fallout Hub.
I did.
Yeah,
I figured I can share that because that was in a government OSHA class. That was in a government OSHA class that I just... OSHA's, I forgot the term. It's like, be safe in your jobs kind of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, Mothman, prophetic creature, bird, something. Indrid Cold seems like his mortal enemy. There's an alien that wears a suit, and that is where you get a lot of these things like Smoking Man, also the Men in Black. That is what John Keel came up with, is the Men in Black. There are also government agents that come into it, but Indrid Cold is considered the Men in Black as well, and that's the same incident that happens.
Interesting.
So, yeah, isn't that book, that's the first account anyone had of the Men, like he made that up, right? That's where it comes from, the Men in Black.
The Men in Black, yeah, is the first account. He's the one that came up with that terminology. And because the book goes on from Indrid Cold and takes off, I guess in a path of more like, let's look at the history of like strange men in suits and why they all could be Indrid Cold. And it goes back to like diners and these accounts of these different people and his other, because this dude was traveling all over the United States and parts of Europe, just looking at UFO accounts, strange accounts, that kind of stuff.
And then he just started to notice that everywhere he went, there were men wearing suits. There must be some reason why there's all these men wearing suits all over the place.
And he, I mean, he would go into these office buildings and he would just look around at the men in suits. And
men
he was
in
like,
suits.
I keep on seeing these men in suits in these office buildings.
Who are these men
in
suits? In
these rooms with giant tables.
Either it's
what
the
is happening?
Same men who are following me around, or for some reason, men in different locations all seem to constantly be wearing suits. What is going on? What if
it's like if everybody went to the homes of American Style, they would be like, why is everyone wearing sweatpants?
What?
Why is everyone wearing sweatpants?
What?
What's the deal with everyone?
Why would everyone be wearing sweatpants? Or if you travel to lots of different
aliens.
Farms, you'd be like, why does everyone have overalls? What if this Keen guy was just like, I mean, it sounds like he's either a very creative author or he's a bit off his rocker. What if he was just the kind of person who just didn't have the mental facilities to reason correctly at all, and was just like would draw connections between, like, there's got to be some sort of connection between all of these men wearing suits, other than like, no, that's just fashion, people wear suits, you know, like there must be some other reason for men wearing especially dark suits. Why do men wear dark suits and they're all over the place, especially at a distance? Anyway.
So Kiel was a precarious sort. I would encourage you to go, if not read Mothman Prophecies, you're not going to make it through. I guarantee you, you're going to pick up that ebook and you're going to make it maybe 50 pages in. You're going to be like, what's the point here? And you're going to be like, the better theory out of all of his theories, and I'm talking about like the elementary school with the tinfoil man coming down the UFO, and I think he was like, my name's Herbert. I think that's literally what the dude said when he came down in it. The better theory has to do with the Native American tribes that I think it was Cherokee that were up in that area. Essentially, they were trying. They had a fort. I guess they weren't American. They were, I guess, British. I guess they were American revolutionaries at that point. They had a fort up there at Point Pleasant. And they were trying to broker peace with the local Native American tribes because they. This, I mean, back then, Point Pleasant was out in the frontier. I mean, it was like the Wild West back then. Like nobody lived out here. Nobody did anything. You literally only had forts. Where my house stood, like. Before, I mean, like in the 1700s, there was a fort here, and Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone,
one
that's
of them.
The one.
Sure,
he was the sheriff of Charleston.
Really,
which is stupid. Yeah, he was.
That's awesome.
That's where he was the sheriff of.
All right.
Then he went and did all this other stuff. Anyways, they were trying to broker peace with the Native Americans, these people in Point Pleasant, and then. This general brings in the chief and his sons, and things go a little awry, and they may be captured. They're not sure. They're not being very nice to them. And then there is a problem, and the general kills the chief's son. And then that sets everybody off, accordingly.
It's a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Right. So the chief then utters onto him that he curses the ground and the people that live here. He sends out this like written curse, and it's all conjecture. So I would read the curse that he said, but there wasn't a scribe in the corner that was like, oh yeah, can you repeat line two? I really need to write. What did you say in your curse? Mm-hmm. Oh, kill the babies, right? Okay, yeah, that's 100%. Yeah, that didn't happen, but there was a curse that he put up on the general. So if you go to Point Pleasant, there is this obelisk in real life, this gigantic obelisk that's not in the game, but if you go, you'll see it. It's like a Washington Monument obelisk that is erected for the Native American chief, and I have the name of the Native American chief here. I can reference my book here. Let's see. His name was Chief Cornstalk. That's it. And the Shawnee were the Native Americans. Chief Cornstalk. It is a monument to him. and people believe, and that's the side of the fort that it was that was on the riverbank. People believe that he has put a curse upon this land, and that's why the Silver Bridge fell. That's why the Mothman is there. That's why all of these weird things over the course of time have happened in Point Pleasant. Mm-hmm. There's been multiple burnings, multiple crazy, strange, odd things that have happened there.
Crazy,
and
strange,
so
odd
I'm
things.
More
yeah.
Crazy, strange, odd things. I'm more inclined to believe that may be something related to the Mothmaniverse, which is the official name of the Mothman cinematic universe.
I mean,
the Mothmaniverse.
I mean, if the options are aliens flying chimneys and showing up in people's bedrooms, or Native American curse, I mean,
now Tom, you
is
need to be,
either more you gotta, rational than on. The other.
Well, I mean, Tom, you just got to be creative. You're so close-minded at the moment. Think about the chimney, my friend.
Think about the flying chimney. Think about the flying chimney. Maybe the obelisk is creating is like an antenna that is making the curse even more potent and channeling it directly from the ground.
It's calling out to the aliens.
Right. Maybe it's an antenna. Maybe the Mothman has antennas too, and so that's an antenna that is calling all of the Mothmen to the area, and that's connected.
That's where the cult lives.
In the obelisk?
I mean,
what?
Oh, you want to know? All right, you want to know something really weird?
Yes. Yes.
Do you know why they call him the Mothman?
Why?
Oh.
Does Laney
know? Say it.
Because. Lainey, you take it away.
No,
let's hear your account.
I don't.
Our accounts are lined up,
okay.
And we're
So what I've heard is that. So I have a couple things, right? So one of them might be that a journalist coined it because it was similar to Batman, which was the live action show was popular at the time. But also, I have a story that some boy looked out his window and saw a guy that looked like Batman on a roof just fly away. And so also that was considered a Mothman thing. But both of them would essentially mean that Mothman comes from Batman because Batman was popular at the time.
I feel like Indrid Cold just entered your room in some form of fashion.
Did you hear
that? I did hear that, yes.
It's the Men in Black. They're here.
Yeah, the account that I've heard is that the journalist was like, you know what's popular in 1966? Batman. Everyone watches Batman, so we're going to call it Mothman because that's more fun than creature ... bird ... something.
Something.
Yeah, I have the name of his article was Bird, Plane, or Batman. Says Bird, Plane, or Batman, Mason Countyans Hunt Mothman.
Yeah. Nekomata in chat says 1960s clickbait. Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the movie, The Mothman Prophecy, which is kind of what launched it into the
general
like mainstream
awareness.
Media aspect of it.
Yeah.
Right. Launched the town into a mainstream media, and they filmed some stuff from Point Pleasant. They were there on site doing research, but they've also had like some of the shots are from the actual hotel. And it's not, if you look at the town in Mothman Prophecies, the movie, it's not Point Pleasant. If you've ever been there, it's different. It's, I think it's a smaller area that's set in Pennsylvania. It launched this whole thing about Mothman, and so they opened up this Mothman Museum that was like a non-profit thing. They erected this Mothman statue, and it's totally gaudy. Like,
yeah, no,
you can find
Mothman
in the museum. They have the written accounts of the first two couples that saw the Mothman.
Oh yeah,
they have those. They have the written. They have drawings. Their drawings of what they think the Mothman looks like. They have a lot of the original. They have a few things. There's three parts to the museum. One is the original accounts. Two, it's a movie museum to Mothman Prophecy. So it's like, here's the phone that Indrid Cold called Richard Gere on, and here's some shots from the set. And then it's all of the paraphernalia that's been manufactured by Mothman. And let me tell you where Mothman is very popular, and that's in Japan. They have a lot of Japanese toys.
Of course it is.
From Japan. That are all, some of them are labeled kaiju, which is kind of funny because kaiju is like Godzilla.
Right.
And it's like, do they think that this is Mothman is like related to Mothra?
I have the Mothman statue up on stream right now for people to look at. That's it.
Yeah. The Mothman statue. Let me walk you through. Okay. First of all, Mothman
has like Batman knees.
He does. He has chest hair. That's very important. He has a six pack. And you know what he's got? He's got a donk. They went and they made a nice, shiny metal donk for this.
Donk?
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, donk. You know, like, he got a donk. She got a donk. Or, like, he thick.
Some,
you know,
cake back there.
Like a badonk? He's got some a badonkadonk?
Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to find a picture of his badonk. Stay tuned. Keep talking. So, yeah.
It's very defined.
Mothman butt.
I have a picture of Mothman's butt. I can pull it up on my phone and show it on the screen.
I found one with a woman who seems very interested in this. Oh, here we go. She looks excited. All right. Yeah, go ahead. Keep explaining. I'm going to put this on.
Yeah.
On the video.
Mothman is great because he can clap them cheeks. He also has these wonderfully constructed wings, nice claws. There's a picture. I have a few pictures just of with Mothman here that I have recently, I believe, saved to my phone.
just in
the Mothman Museum. If you go to the Mothman Festival, which is the yearly festival that they have in September, this year was canceled, you will wait in line for an hour to take the picture with the Mothman statue. I mean, it is.
That's crazy. That's a lot of waiting around.
Something to behold. It is a lot of waiting around, and the museum is worth it to go in the off season. Like, if you're ever passing by, so like if we go to Columbus, like from Charleston, everything is 3 hours from Charleston. Just in life, anywhere, like Timbuktu, 3 hours from Charleston. Pittsburgh, 3 hours from Charleston. Seattle, 3 hours from Charleston. Kidding.
Right. Sure.
If you ever go. It's worth stopping and just like grabbing a bite for lunch and then going to the Mothman Museum. They have all of these different paraphernalia. You can buy shirts. I have my shirt on from the Mothman Museum. It's like Mothman, but it has Batman. There's that lady Batman with the butt.
Yeah. Yep.
I like the lady with the butt. In general, Mothman has become, and you all can probably speak better to this, Mothman has kind of transcended the story and is now a part of like culture and memes and is popular with young people. And I say that as being a young person, but has had a resurgence, I guess, in the past few years and it all started with these moth to the lamp memes that happened a while back. How is my question to you, before we get into the 76 stuff, how has Mothman impacted your life?
He brings me joy.
He shows up in my bedroom at night.
That's Indrid Cold, Tom, and we all know it. And you're not fooling anybody by telling us it's Mothman.
Crap.
We see past you.
I really don't know that it's impacted my life very much at all. It's fun. Like, all this stuff is fun. It's fun. I'm glad it's in a video game and it shows up every so often, you know. That's cool.
All right, it's called Show and Tell Time. And there's me and my wife at the Mothman statue.
You look very scared.
There we are.
The wings are so extravagant.
The wings
are.
I'm
gonna
cool.
hold his hand here. It's me holding his hand. I lost 20 pounds since then. He's such a beautiful boy.
Intimate moments with the Mothman.
Yeah, this used to be my profile picture for years, and that's a suit that they actually wear at the Mothman Festival. You can go around and
that looks more like see people wearing Mothman. Yeah,
I want a Mothman suit.
You can go and volunteer. There's people that walk around as the Men in Black, and they escort the people in the Mothman
suit.
And then they have a Bigfoot suit.
Oh my god.
And then
do yourselves
they sell
a favor
Mothman
and
droppings.
search search Mothman Soup and look at the image search. I'm just putting it in chat. There's
the point is that Mothman has become beyond what the original story is. Mothman is now part of like American folk culture.
Yes.
And is now in a way has be like cryptids in general have become this very like it's weird because normally you would think cryptids and you watch the History Channel and you think it's a bunch of like kind of like crackpots, like I'm gonna get in the bunker and get all the weapons and I've gotta put my tinfoil hat on and turn the frogs gay and all this different stuff, you know.
Right.
You've got that aspect of it. But then it's like become a symbol of the LGBTQ plus community.
Oh, interesting.
At the same time.
Huh.
Which is like in general. It's so there's like a duality to this. There's like the people that are like Mothman fans, people that are cryptid fans, I guess, and never the two shall realistically meet.
So there's like a distance
to a point where Mothman has ascended above Bigfoot and beyond. Mothman transcends us now. That's really what I'm trying to say.
He's our Lord on high.
That we've gotten to a point.
Yes.
And that's why I carry my Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I walk around every day with this in my back pocket. And I slap people who
you slap them with your Mothman Bible.
Need to know
bonk them on the head.
Mm-hmm. Bad stuff is coming.
Bad stuff. All right. Well, thank you, Dave. That was very interesting. Did I pause long enough before saying interesting? Did that work?
I think so. Okay. I think so.
Cool. Well, I appreciate it, man. We've got some stuff to get to in the middle of the show, and then we've got 76 stuff to get to at the end of the show to talk about how this actually has anything to do with Fallout. So let's transition. Here we go.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest still eager to serve.
Are you an avid player of the Elder Scrolls Online and looking to take your game to that next level? Well, the Red Diamond Courier podcast is here to help. I'm Bob Chachinski.
And I'm DogBark24.
We are two experienced players aiming to help others learn and improve through in-game knowledge and references.
From PvE
to PvP
and everything in between.
There's sure to be something for you in the Red Diamond Courier.
We hope you check us out. Thanks!
So, welcome to the middle of the show, and we are here to thank our patrons. I've been noting that I need to thank the patrons from last month, and we've been busy with some other shows and going long lately, but thank you to our new patrons from last month, including Ricca and Wessosaurus Flex and Nicholas B. Thank you guys for being patrons.
That's an awesome name.
Yes. Yeah. If you're interested in supporting the show, then check out patreon.com/falloutlorecast, and you can check out all the different tiers, ways of getting the show early or without any ads, or being able to join us at the end of every month for our patron chat episode. And this month we will be talking about I pitched an idea and they were like, yeah, that's a good idea. And now I forget the idea. It has fallen out of my brain. Crap. Oh, we're talking about what it would actually be like if we were in the wasteland ourselves, which creatures we would be most afraid to actually interact with, like our own selves in the game. Like not just role playing a character, but like if we were living in the wasteland. So we'll be discussing. So I'm sure that's going to clarify a little bit as we get closer and closer to the end of the month episode. So that's coming up. So check that out if you're interested in helping support the show, and to everyone else who supports the show every month, thank you so much for your support. Lainey and I appreciate it. We are here because you guys are making this possible. So thank you very, very much. Also, I
appreciate it too.
And Dave's here because of it. Also, I've got a number. You guys have been awesome this last month, dropping some reviews. Because it took me so long to get to this episode, I'm sure I'm missing some on the list because my account doesn't show us everything from more than a month ago, but I do have some that I can call out, including, and I'm going to mispronounce this, G. Sentan, maybe, from the United States, who writes, great for passing time, 5 stars. I'm a huge fan of the Fallout series, but I'm not a huge fan of my job, totally understand that. So getting to listen to in-depth lore about my favorite games really helps to speed up my days and makes them much more enjoyable. So thank you for the amazing content, and thank you for giving me something to look forward to when I go to work every day. Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for that. Then we have, we've got Psycho Suicide from the United States. Sounds like a very dangerous name. Who writes, the Fallout podcast I've been waiting for. 5 stars. I've looked for a long time for a podcast that I can listen to, and I found it. Well, I'm glad. That's awesome. Man, we're like best podcast. We're like the only one you can listen to. That's amazing. Then we have another one from GoatBoy33, who writes, love the show, in the United States. 5 stars. Hey, Tom, robots, been hardcore binging the show, and I love it thus far. I really like when you have guests on the show because I love how y'all bounce ideas and opinions off of each other. You should reach out to Oxhorn to see if he's down to make a guest appearance from Texas with much love. Yeah, Oxhorn's an awesome dude. He's very, very, very busy and hard to get a hold of to pin down for this kind of stuff. But I would love to have Oxhorn on the show. So who knows? That could very well happen in the future. Pinky Gems 86 writes from Great Britain, new listener, loving it. 5 stars. Since lockdown, I've been binging podcasts, and until today, I did not even enter my mind to look for Fallout related content. So well researched and presented, and an absolute must for Fallout fans, both new and not so new. I've joined the Discord too, and the community is amazingly friendly. Awesome, Pinky Jim. Thank you for that glowing review, and a call out to the Discord and everyone over there. We've got a few more left, just 3 more. Vig Boy. Number equals cool. I don't know what that means. From Sweden, writes, love the show. 5 stars, founded about a year ago, and I love it. You have such a nice voice. No homo, though. Okay, well, thank you very much, big boy. Then we have JDKS NFN Skaka. I don't know how to pronounce that at all. United, from the United States, who writes, love this. 5 stars, started binging the show at work, and it has inspired me to start playing all the Fallout games over again and start a new character in 76. Love all the info that is explained in here. Best part of my day. That sounds awesome. Thank you so much. And I'm not going to try to pronounce your name again. And then we have Garina 29 from the United States, who writes, OMG. 5 stars. I love your work. Truly awesome and amazing. Please keep up the amazing work. Well, tell you what, we're going to keep going. So thank you for that review. Guys, I appreciate everyone who takes time to drop a review on whatever podcatcher you're listening to. It really does help to promote the show, make sure people understand that the show is continually putting out good content, and it makes me feel good too. So I appreciate that. Also, before we get back to the rest of the episode, we noted this at the beginning of the show, Starfield Lorecast is going to be a thing. It is not necessarily going to be a weekly thing. It'll be something that Dave and I will be dishing out every month or so until we start to get more and more details coming in. And then it'll transition from being something like a speculation show to an actual information that we're getting about the game and the world and the background of the world and all that stuff. So that podcast is going to be awesome, because I'm sure Bethesda is going to do an awesome job with the world, as they always do with RPGs.
And they better.
And if they don't, then we'll still do a show, and we'll just have to figure out what to say about it.
We're gonna burn it down. We're gonna burn it down if they don't.
Burn it down. That's something for you guys to look up. So if you are an audio listener, and by the time you're listening to this, search for Starfield Lorecast. Hopefully it'll be out. It may take a little while to get onto Apple Podcasts. That's the one that takes the longest to get onto, but we'll give you some reminders in the upcoming weeks to go check it out. Also, this show and all the other shows on the Robots Radio Network are sponsored by our network sponsors, including audiobooks.com. And I've been talking about audiobooks.com on all of my shows lately, because I think it's probably our best deal. If you look in the show notes, you'll see a bunch of different deals, things for like Loot Crate and Gamefly and Green Man Gaming and NordVPN. Audiobooks.com is giving away 3 books. All you have to do is click the link and sign up, and you get 3 books for free. Absolutely free. So if you wanted to look up Mothman Prophecies, I bet that's on there. Why don't we do that real quick? Audiobooks.com, Mothman Prophecies, or anything else at all. You could just get 3 free audiobooks. Mothman. Let's see if this is in here. Mothman Prophecies, Wild and Wonderful and Paranormal, the Perhaps Knots about monsters. It's like a kid's book. And then some other book that has nothing to do with Mothman. But the Mothman Prophecies, John A. Keel, is available. So if you want to listen to the wackiness that we just talked about, you can do it absolutely for free. It's only one credit. And this includes even two VIP credits. So basically any books that you want to get at all for the first month are absolutely free. And then after that, you can continue and sign up or not. That's totally up to you. So super great deal. All right, guys, let's get into Fallout 76 and what Mothman's doing there.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
So, Dave, you and I have been playing Fallout 76 since beta, maybe even pre-beta. Since time immemorial. We basically invented the game. You can blame us for all of the launch problems. We didn't.
I was here in the Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta stage.
Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta stage. So we've been doing this for a while. Lainey is very new to the game. She's been playing it for the last 3 weeks. I don't think you've come across a Mothman yet, have you?
No, I still know cryptids.
Cryptids at all yet.
Not a single one.
Wow. But
I'm only level 15. It's going to be a while.
It'll happen. You'll come across one of these guys. So in the game, the Mothman just kind of shows up, and there's a number of different Mothmen that you could run across with different colored eyes and different names. Dave, what's your experience with the
experiments? What are my experiments? Mothman. Well, Tom, sodium chloride is a great element. my experience with Mothman, I didn't see him in the game until I was probably upper level, so it took me several hours, like hours into like 10 or 20 hours before I actually saw Mothman. But there's some interesting things in the game, and I've now caught on to them, that they had started to say before that was released, where they have put certain things, certain lights, like street lights or certain glowing plants that are aligned so they look like eyes are the right shape and size of Mothman, so you think it's Mothman.
And at a distance, you're like, wait, are those two? Oh, those aren't two eyes. Like, and this happened to me, this very thing. And thank you for reminding me about this, because I forgot. Before I ran into a Mothman in game, that very thing happened like two or three times, because we knew Mothman was in the game. We saw screenshots. People were sharing stuff saying, look, Mothman's here. Look at the red eyes. And there were a few instances of like, oh, crap, those red eyes. And no, wait, those are just streetlights. Or, there's just lights in a window. Yep. It's very true.
And it's funny. The first one that I noticed was actually, it ended up being like random events happen. One of the random events I think cryptid is, there's like a spreadsheet list where they roll through, and if you get to an area, it spawns a random event. One of them is Mothman, and it was the first area that I saw one of those like fake outs. So it was like you could see a fake out or the Mothman in that same area, which is, I think you can go to there's a bunker that is it's at the top of the map towards the Red Rocket gas station in the north. There's a bunker, and I think it's Ella Ames is the person that the bunker's at. It's right outside her door. If you just like pop right outside of Ella Ames' door and you're like, hey, is Mothman here? You're gonna see like these two little plants, and you'll find them, because you'll notice and be like, those two are like, they're at the right distance apart, that they're trying to say something here. So later on, I think it was in the Cranberry Glade. They have these giant plants that are down there, the carnivorous plants that have grown over the, I forgot the name of them. It's funny because I did like a dissertation on these plants and I've forgotten the name. That's how history and time work.
Right.
Sundrew. You go to the Sundrew Grove, and I was going down there picking cranberries. Like, I'm just telling the story like I'm a little Red Riding Hood.
As you do.
I was going down there picking cranberries from my grandmother's cranberry pie. In the middle of it, all of a sudden, I see this weird thing, and it's all red, and it's all like gross, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I see this thing, and the name pops up, and it says Scorched Mothman. This is the first Mothman I've seen, and it is scorched. And I'm like, what the heck?
Really?
They can do, like, they can do this?
That's
they
like
can scorch
that's
a Mothman?
Like double rare. Like,
you can get scorched for pretty much any of the cryptids. Yeah.
Yeah, they're scorched for almost everything, as far as I'm aware.
And diseased.
Yeah.
And it killed me. And that's how the story ended.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
First time I ran into Mothman, I was playing with my wife. My wife and I were playing together, and she was a much lower character. And we were traveling across the map in a kind of the mountainous hilly region on the like the east side of the middle of the map, right? I don't remember where we were going. We're heading up a hill, and all of a sudden I hear behind me, and I turn around and I'm like, what was that? And then I see out of the corner of the screen, and I was like, something's following us. And we both stop and turn around, and then sure enough, like right next to me, and it was a wise Mothman, and it was like with the purple eyes, right? And I was like, oh, it's a Mothman. So I start shooting at it. Of course, the wise Mothman's the nice one. It doesn't attack you.
It's the nice one, yeah.
It's the nice one. So we obliterated this poor wise Mothman because it freaked us out because it was doing the whole thoof, thoof thing and like trailing us. Yeah, poor wise Mothman was killed.
That's sacrilege, and I'll have you know that I'm going to beat you with this app.
You're going to get a bonk.
Yeah, the internet is now mad at me. They're like, no, he's the nice one. You murderer.
Nekomata76 says that you're a murderer, and I happen to agree. Mm-hmm. The Mothman Ranger says you're a monster. This is
officially the trial, guys.
Tom Blair.
This is before I knew. I didn't know. This is very early. This is very, very early. This is before people like were just like, oh, here's all the stuff we know about 76. I was just like, ah, Mothman, shoot it. Shoot it. It's creeping us. It's creeping on us. Yeah, that was the first one. So what else do we know about the Mothman in the game? You guys have any other thoughts? Any other experiences?
So the Mothman in the game seems to be less man, seems to be more moth, seems to be more like a lot of the different cryptids is kind of the Fallout take on it, where it's been kind of mutated, seems like a gigantic mutated moth. Even that, there's some odd stuff going on there, because they have, you know, of course, the Cult of Mothman, which they had originally in the base game, but now it's
expanded,
fleshed
on.
Out as a whole different enemy type.
Right.
The interesting thing is, if you go into the where the game and you go into the basement, there are that's kind of the first place that you'd find stuff about the Cult of Mothman, and they have certain sermons down there. And in the game's lore, it details that the Mothman appeared to people before the flood in Charleston, which was caused by the raiders there. They let off a nuke in the dam, Somerville Dam, and that's why that's broken.
And it's post Great War.
Mothman appeared.
So, post Great War.
Yes, post Great War.
Right.
It appeared to them, and it told them to get onto the rooftops because there was a flood, and they were like,
well, I don't think it told them to get on the rooftops. I think that's just the action they took because they misinterpreted it, right? So it told them there'd be a flood. True. And then Brother Charles is the character that heard this. And then he was like, everybody, like, tomorrow we gotta stay safe. And then, of course, it was not a flood in the traditional sense.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure that they warned them about the cultists were warned about the flood in Charleston.
I know that that's what they were, but it was just a flood. It was misinterpreted as like a water flood.
Okay, that makes sense. So you can read through the sermons in the bottom of it of the Mothman Museum, where there's like a bunch of cultist stuff, and then you can read about Jeff Lane, who is the owner of the Mothman Museum. Fun fact: the actual owner of the Mothman Museum's name is Jeff as well.
current day. That's interesting.
Day. It's definitely a nod to him, because he's pretty active. He's like an active member of the community. So it details the story of Jeff, who was big into Mothman, opened up the Mothman Museum because Mothman was a thing before the bombs dropped. Very similar story. You can pick it up in the holotape, The Tales of West Virginia Hills. It'll tell you one of them's Mothman. It'll tell you about the Scarberries, I think, is the name of the family. So,
it's definitely
read about Jeff Lane. Oh, go ahead.
No. Keep talking.
Oh, just Jeff Lane, you start to learn about, and you're like, okay, like, this dude's really into Mothman. He's leaves on some mission, and you really don't hear about him for a long time if you're going through the normal progression of exploring locations within the game. So I guess later on, you approach this place called the Lucky Hole Mine, and you start to get these notes from Bop and cultists who are talking about praising a certain thing. They're like, praise him, praise this, praise that. And you get these holotapes from Jeff Lane talking about searching for the interloper. And he says that he has found the interloper, and the interloper has called him there. And the holotape ends, and there's no body for Jeff Lane. Like, you don't find Jeff Lane's body. You just find these old holotapes. But in the Lucky Hole Mine, a lot of the people that are big into the, I guess, overarching theory of, especially in the later and Fallout 4 and now 76, of these Lovecraftian creatures that keep appearing.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a Lovecraftian creature in the Lucky Hole Mine that he calls the Interloper.
The Interloper. I can't wait.
Have you all seen the Interloper, seen anything relative to the like weird Lovecraftian stuff going on in this?
I mean, yeah. I mean, we've talked about this on the Fallout Hub a little bit. The Interloper, dude. Yeah, we need to do a whole episode on like Lovecraftian connections in Fallout. This needs to be something that we do. Maybe we tackle this next week. But
sure.
Yeah, cool stuff. But yeah, I don't want to go too far off the Mothman unless you have a way of, are you planning to pull this back around?
No, that's kind of where Jeff Lane ends the story. And how, what is the Mothman cult? Like, what, my question, I guess, that I'm hearing, why does Mothman have a cult? What is the purpose of the cult? What's their dealio, man?
What's their dealio, man?
What's up with them?
I don't know.
As far as I'm aware, they, like, right, so this idea in real life is that the Mothman prophesizes things. He lets you know when bad things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think that the cultists caught onto this in the Fallout world universe, because they would try to summon them to get information. It's how they found out about the nukes. Like, this was normal for them to be calling on these Mothmen, and multiple of them, right? They knew that there was different ones because they could talk to them. And it's interesting that the Mothmen do look so much like moths as they do in the games, because it does lead you to believe that they are mutated from something, like you mentioned. But clearly they're not. Clearly they're some sort of supernatural force, if not genuinely some sort of deity.
Interesting. My question
is, okay, so if Mothman, you have these Mothmen, is that what you call them? I'm going to call them Mothmen.
Mothmans.
They're all the different Mothmans. Moth creatures. The Mothmans, the Mothmans, the glowing, the scorch, the, you know, across the border. The whole gambit.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to list them all out in a second, but go ahead. Keep talking.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
tell me about the Moth Boys.
Yeah. So we've got a few different Mothmans. We've got just the regular Mothman. We've got the stalking Mothman, the vengeful Mothman, the glowing Mothman, the scorched Mothman, and the wise Mothman. And the eye color is actually not specific to the type of Mothman. It's actually based on their current state and response to you. So the wise Mothman, being passive, has purple eyes because purple eyes mean passive. It's not that all wise Mothman only have purple eyes. It's that any Mothman in the passive state has purple eyes. They change colors from purple to let me see, where did I find this? Purple for passive, yellow for cautious, and then red for hostile. The glowing variant has green eyes, and they don't change based on their current state. And each of the different Mothmans have slightly different stats, abilities, and items that they can drop. So there is some variation between them, but they are distinct and different from each other in more than just, you know, their eyes, which isn't really a distinction except for the green one. So interesting stuff.
Yeah. My question is, you have all these Mothmans, but in the game you have there's no like actual man slash moth. Like it's just mainly just mutated moth. But there is the statue in Point Pleasant that is much similar to the real world statue. So my question is there like, is it kind of like Lord of the Rings where there's like, we made many Mothmen, but there's one Mothman to rule them all. And he looks like a silvery hunk of a thing.
Or he's like the great hunk. Mothman who is like the you know, the one that they all descend from and worship or something. I have a very similar theory about the bunnies that live in the field nearby our house. During the summer, like spring, summer, and fall months, they come out and you can see them like on the edges of the high grass. As you, it's like a big round area that you can, we can ride our bikes around. It's probably a few acres large, right? And there's kind of swampy area in the middle, lots of tall grass. All the bunnies kind of live in the tall grass. But in the winter, they disappear. They don't come out as much. And it's because my headcanon for this is that they all worship the great fat bun, who during the spring, summer, and fall months, they all collect grass for and feed and make them really big and fat so that they can cuddle up with him and hibernate during the winter in order to stay warm. Maybe that's what we've got going on here with the Mothman.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like a moth cave and like the Mothman is sitting in the cave and like as you walk in, there's just like all glowing eyes that you see as you you enter.
Yeah, and all the other cave. Mothmans are all like bowing in worship and fluttering their wings. And there's like the great Mothman who's like towering like huge in the back of the cave. You know, and you're like, how did you even get in this cave? The opening's not that big, but he's back there. And he's the one that's telepathic and warns people of floods.
Yeah. So what's his agenda? What do you think is his agenda? He has an agenda, clearly.
Clearly. He's like a Daedra from the Elder Scrolls games in that he only exists when people worship him. So he's gathering worship juice.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah, people laughed at me when I said that they're gonna pull in a system like ESO Plus for Fallout 76 and make like a premium subscription and you get special items.
Sure
and
enough, it happened. Storage.
People were like, "Oh, that's funny." So everyone that's listening at home thinking, "Oh, haha, Tom, your danger theory." Let me tell you something. There are some connections going
maybe,
on in here.
Maybe these cryptids only exist because we believe that they exist. Well,
that reminds me of the end of Merlin when you have Queen Mab and everybody is like, and this is how I wish we could do with a lot of the corrupt political figures in the world, is everybody looks at Queen Mab and they say, Queen Mab, we're gonna forget you, and they all turn around and they don't look at her and she's screaming and then like slowly she disappears into the ether because everyone forgot.
You can't make yourself forget. There's a plot hole there. You can't make yourself forget things. Like, that doesn't work. The more you think it's about Merlin, trying to forget something, the more you remember a thing. Anyway, all right. Well, I think we've hit all the high notes on this one. Dave, you have any, Dave Laney, anything else to close us
episode
out?
You got me
This has been an absolutely ridiculous episode. It's been super fun. Do you guys have anything else to close us out with before we go?
I'm doing another podcast. I've got Starfield Lorecast that's coming out. I do the Fallout Hub with Tom. I am doing this episode of Fallout Lorecast with Tom. It's a pleasure pleasure to be here. Pleasure for you to have me on. Thank you for having me. I'm glad that I could ramble on about Mothman. I feel like there's only one way to learn about Mothman. It's by somebody rambling at you about him for a few hours until you're finally done. I do my own personal podcast called Geography Arcade. Most recently, I've got an episode out talking about Elder Scrolls Morrowind. There's stuff about Star Wars. There's stuff about a number of different episodes. I can't even remember what all I've done. I think I did a Fallout episode, maybe a Fallout 76 episode. Who knows?
Who even knows?
Until
at
you
this
find
point.
It. It's called Geography Arcade, and it studies about the worlds of our favorite video games and how it relates to our world and just like the love that we all share for all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
What a pitch that is.
Yeah, the love that we all share. Oh, baby. I don't know where that was going with that. Laney, what do you have going on?
I like all these singing.
Every time you and I do a show together, we end up singing about stuff. No, you don't have to talk about podcasts. Anything else going on? Anything you want people to know about how to reach out to you?
I mean, you know, I'm on the Discord. It says Lainey. You can find me. Other than that, I mean, not really. I do lots of things that have nothing to do with any of this.
Well, me too.
You're welcome to share any of that if you want people to be involved with it, because some of our community might be interested. It's up to you.
I'm developing an online course about how to develop online courses, because I've been working in the creation of online courses, mostly about computer science, since 2017. So finally, we're creating one that is actually just so people can learn to do it themselves. Very exciting. So if anybody has an online course they'd like to make, this should be available in the next year or so.
Very cool. All right. Well, yeah. You guys know how to get a hold of her if you wanted to chat with Lainey about that. Awesome. Well, you guys know how to get a hold of me. Also, after this show, after this episode is done, if you have any questions about content creation, podcasts, videos, streaming, marketing, technology, to do any of those things, I'll be hanging out for a bit to chat with the community for office hours. I do this after our shows on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. So feel free to chat. Feel free to hang out. Come up some, you know, if you got some questions, go ahead and start prepping them for the chat there, and I will answer those in just a few minutes. Other than that, tune in tomorrow or on whatever podcatcher for the Starfield Lorecast with me and Dave and the Fallout Hub and all the other cool stuff we're doing on the network. Robotsradio singular.net is where you can get all of that stuff. So thank you guys for joining me this week, and we'll be back next week with another cryptid, creepy something to talk about for this month. So stay tuned for that. All right, guys. Well, until then, stay safe. And if you happen to see two glowing eyes in the distance or a suited man in your bedroom, let us know. That should be the first response. Don't seek help.
No, don't
but
scream.
Maybe if you see a suited man in your bedroom, you should let the police know first.
No. Pull out your phone.
Or Google open up, sleep paralysis.
Open up Twitter or Discord.
Go to the Discord.
And then send us a note. Take a picture. Say, hold on, suited man. Take a picture. Send us a thing. And then call the police. Okay? No, but really, like real life, actual, if you really do, if this does really happen in real life, please call the police. Call the police. All right. We will see you guys next week. Bye. 'To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Also, look up the Robots Radio YouTube for videos about Fallout and other things. And check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/robotsradio. This podcast was brought to you in part by our patrons at patreon.com/falloutlorecast, including our Tier 5 patrons. Thank you so much to Wessasaurus Flex and FireWriter for supporting the show. Also, if you're interested in business inquiries, advertising on the show, or applying to be a podcast on the Robots Radio Network, send me a message at falloutlorecast@gmail.com or robotsnetwork@gmail.com.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are Dragonbreaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the grey maybe of Tamriel.
In a world where solid-state electronics and vacuum tubes are still meta, people never stop loving atomic-powered everything. A chosen 500 stepped inside a subterranean vault to be spared the nuclear horror of the inevitable Great War. 25 years later, they emerge after the fallout settles to retake Appalachia. Among them, two former rivals whose blood feud will tear West Virginia apart and their epic struggle for survival. Chad, a vault bro who has a strength of 15, an intelligence of 2, and is a complete wasteland dickhead. Simon, a complicated anti-hero who chooses light and hope, but accidentally becomes a cannibal and wakes up naked and afraid with a Scorch Beast Queen after a date goes terribly wrong. What? I mean, it's a wild wasteland, right? This dark humor radio drama will have you driving off the road and crawling out from under the fallout. Two men. One wasteland. And so many nukes. Chad, a Fallout 76 podcast. Rated R. Now streaming on your holotape player podcasty thing.